Today, we continue our journey on the road to Emmaus. And our encounter tonight, as you can see in the slide, is life in the graveyard. When I was a little girl, my nanny was the best storyteller, I thought. She could use whatever was around her to spin her tales, but her best ones always involved animals. Now, I'm not sure just how old I was when the moral of the story I'm going to tell you connected in my little brain, but I remember, most of all, asking her to tell and retell this story, which is entitled Littlefoot. Once upon a time, there lived a rabbit family in the patch of woods at the end of a lane where the road to town and the farmer's driveway ended. When the baby rabbits were finally old enough to go outside and play, Mama Rabbit said, "Now Foot, and Foot Foot, and Foot Foot Foot, you be careful to stay in our yard and not go near the road." The three siblings played near the hutch that day, having so much fun that they were ready for bed that night. While Mama Rabbit was tucking them in, Daddy Rabbit thanked the rabbits for listening so well to their mother that day. "And because you were so good, your mother and I have decided that you should get extra time to play outside tomorrow." The next day, after breakfast, just as promised, they were allowed to play outside with the same instruction from Mama: "Don't go too near the road." While having lunch, it began to rain, and they were very sad to not go out to play. But after nap time, however, off they went, bounding and jumping and playing hide and seek in the flower bed. And next was a game of tag, and off went Foot Foot just as fast as she could. Now, Foot 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 was the slowest of the three little rabbits, but Little Foot was the fastest of all. "Tag, you're it," hollered Little Foot as he tagged Foot Foot and hopped away, running this way and that, over the log and under the bush. And just when he thought he was going to get back to the base before being caught, Foot Foot shouted, "I see you!" And Little Foot darted off again, running so far and so fast that he couldn't see that he'd reached the end of the road. And just as he turned back to look and see how far ahead he was, a car came, and Little Foot was gone. That night, as Mama and Daddy Rabbit were tucking Foot Foot and Foot 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 into bed, Mama Rabbit prayed that the rest of her babies would be safe as they played the next day and to be more careful to stay away from the road. Daddy Rabbit said, "Now, little rabbits, listen to your mother, little ones, for we already have one little foot in the grave." Groan is appropriate, because that's what my aunts and uncles did every single time we asked Nanny to tell the story. Yeah, oh, gotta love her. So there's like no segue to that, so we're just going to go to the scriptures for today, okay? All right, today we meet Paul and Silas, who have been arrested and beaten and put into prison. Let's read now together from Acts chapter 16. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. We would understand at this point in the story if Paul and Silas were complaining of their wounds. Yet, this was not all. They really had reason to, in addition to this, fear that the axes would be coming next. They were in prison, their feet in stocks, which probably not only held them, but was also probably painful for them. And yet at midnight, when they should have been trying, if possible, to get a little rest, we find them praying and singing their praises to God. They prayed for support, for comfort, for God to be with them. They even prayed that their physical wounds might be tools to share the gospel. Prayed for their persecutors, we suppose, asking that God would forgive them and turn their hearts. This, a beautiful reminder to us that even in the dark and out of the depths of pain or sorrow, we too may or possibly should cry out to our God. Those that are companions in suffering should join in prayer, as the prophet Isaiah said. Are any afflicted? Then let them pray. The singing of psalms is not only for expressing joy, but for relieving sorrows in times of trouble. Our scripture for today notes that the prisoners were listening to them. Paul and Silas singing so loud that though they were in the dungeon, they were heard all prison over. So loud that they woke the prisoners, for we are guessing being at midnight, they should be asleep. Perhaps hearing the prison songs of Paul and Silas prepared the others for the coming miracle when the prison doors were thrown open. This joy in the midst of undeserved suffering declares for us the power of salvation, which can claim victory, whatever the circumstances we find ourselves in. A beautiful message that I find in this scripture is that worship should not be dependent on our location. If we're gathered here together in this hour, as we often do, that's great. But what if you can't leave home? What if you're traveling? What if you're simply having a period of time in life where you're really feeling stressed? This suggests that we take time to worship, to praise Him, to seek Him in prayer, to read His word aloud, and to sing our favorite songs. The earthquake is a demonstration of God's power. This week I walked up to Pastor David and I said, okay, so the scripture is correct, right? We got Paul and Silas in jail. And he said, yes. And I said, but the title is Life in the Graveyard. And he said, yes. And then he went to explain it a little bit. And all I really needed to do was sit down and start preparing a little bit more. Because if you look at this picture, which is a picture of an ancient tomb, it's not all that different in my mind from this prison cell. Graveyard, prison cell. And then can you imagine being in this place, which is lit up for the purpose of taking the picture, when an earthquake hits and it's dark? Though Paul and Silas are likely cold and sore and sleepy, they do not wait for a more convenient time or place to speak of grace. They do not in this moment remind the jailer of his rude and ill treatment towards them. All this is forgiven and forgotten. And they are as glad to show him the way to heaven as they have been to every friend that has crossed their path. This is an example for us to encourage forgiveness out of ourselves and for others, to meet those that are coming to Christ and to take them by the hand. Here lies the covenant of grace in just a few words. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Those who have themselves experienced the freedom that forgiveness brings should do what they can to make sure that others experience the same. One quote I found said, "One cheerful Christian should make many." The jailer knew that he was facing, at the very best, severe beating and punishment, but likely a very cruel death if the prisoners under his charge had escaped. So he has decided to end life on his own terms. One concern leads him to another, and being stopped from ending it all, he begins to think that if he had pursued his intention, what would death have brought him? What about his family and the consequences to them? And what would have become of him on the other side of death? The jailer is afraid he shall lose his soul, and Paul is ready with the answer, "We are all here, stop." Here the physical need of a non-Christian is met. From it we learn that the gospel must be preached from us to reach the whole person. Since the prisoners are now reported present, clearly then it seems the earthquake has shaken loose from the jailer's heart a key question. What then must I do, sirs, to be saved? Isn't it ironic that for us, often our personal world has to be shaken up by the onset of a big question as well? A life-threatening disease, perhaps a broken relationship, the loss of a job, or financial woes. Sometimes those things happen before we really consider life's important questions. The jailer's personal salvation here is a blessing. But Paul and Silas will not take that as automatic salvation for the rest of his household, so they take the time with the jailer and his household to make sure they understand God's grace and their own path to salvation. This jailer, when he found himself trembling with fear, could not have encountered a more proper person than Paul. For it had once been Paul trembling at the brightness of God's light. Paul himself had once been a persecutor of good men, as this jailer had been hired to do. He had cast many into prison, and when the jailer, like Paul, realized Christ's call to believe, he too trembled and was astonished. Because of this, however, Paul was able to speak freely with the jailer. A reminder for us that God will use our dark days. He will use our embarrassing moments. He will use the sins that we want to hide to give us the words and the tools and whatever it is we need to reach others in their time of need, to invite them along on our journey with Jesus. I love the symbolism that I see in verses 29 and 30. In 29, when the jailer called for the lights, yes, he was calling for physical light to be brought into the midnight hour of the dungeon, but the light of Christ is coming for him and his household. Then in verse 30, the jailer physically brings Paul and Silas out of the dungeon. And it's a beautiful picture to know that they will soon bring him out of much worse as soon as he utters the words, "I believe." The persecutors of Paul and Silas, they tried to stop the progress of the gospel, didn't they? But instead, we find here converts made in a prison. And the jailer, the persecutor's own servant, becomes a servant for Christ. May it be so in the week, month, days ahead for every single soul that you and I encounter. May we never cease to be the light and the hope of Jesus Christ, even in the darkest hours. Amen.